While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good afternoon to you, Namibia, and to all our listeners joining us from every corner of the world. Thank you for tuning in to Eagle FM, the station where conversations count. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are listening to On The Reading News Analysis, your weekday deep dive into the stories shaping Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. Of course, it's Tuesday, the 11th of November, 2025, and as the week unfolds, we continue to explore the developments driving our nation's progress from boardrooms to classrooms, from corridors of parliament to the communities where real change takes root. All right, here on the Reading News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We ask the hard questions, unpack the context, and connect the dots, bringing you balanced, insightful, and data-driven analysis of the issues that matter most to Namibia's people and its future. Every weekday from 1300 hours to 1430, we guide you through the nation's most pressing conversations with expert interviews, in-depth commentary, archived audio, and your voices at the start of it all. Because in an age where information moves fast, understanding must move even deeper. So as we bring you today's program, we'll shine a light on key national stories, examine their broader impact, and hear from those shaping Namibia's policies, economy, and society. Now remember, you can listen to On The Reading News Analysis across all Eagle FM frequencies, stream us via the Eagle FM website, or download the Eagle FM app, or join the discussion on WhatsApp channel for exclusive clips, insights, and behind-the-scenes moment. However you're tuning in from, your office, your car, or your home, stay with us. Stay thoughtful, stay curious, because right here on The Reading News Analysis, Namibia doesn't just listen, Namibia comes to think. Now let's jump straight into these headlines. High electricity tariffs and persistent power outages are severely straining the financial stability of Namibia's green schemes, particularly the Ndonga-Linena green scheme in Kavango East, where escalating energy costs are draining cash flow and threatening long-term production. Last weekend, during a stakeholder engagement hosted by the Electricity Control Board, ECB, in Rundu on Monday, Ndonga-Linena farm manager Jano Rental said electricity expenses have become one of the most pressing challenges for the irrigation-based projects. It takes away your cash flow at the end of the day. Cash flow you need for other things like fixing tractors or buying new equipment, Rental explained. From harvest until you get your money, it takes a long time, sometimes up to 6.5 months, while you still have to pay for electricity and other expenses. Rental revealed that the Ndonga-Linena Green Scheme spends about $1 million per month on electricity, with demand charges accounting for nearly half of the total bill. He cautioned that unless the regional power distributor NORED offers affordable tariffs or support renewable energy integration, farms may be forced to find alternative power sources, potentially costing NORED key agricultural clients. Now, despite those challenges, Rental reported a strong production season, with the farm delivering 3,800 tons of maize to AMTA this year. That is from 350 hectares, now a significant increase from just 88 hectares planted the previous season. He welcomed the formation of a task force to review NORED's tariff structure and its impact on agricultural operations in the region. Now, at the same meeting, Secondo Green Scheme farm manager Maxwell Nidinwa, who represented all green scheme managers, said the total electricity bill for all state-owned green schemes reached 34.9 million Namibian dollars between October 2024 and September 2025. And a quote of this, 12.6 million Namibian dollars went to demand charges, with farmers paying between 260,000 Namibian dollars and 1.5 million Namibian dollars per month. Nidinwa stated he warned that high tariffs were crimping agricultural productivity and urged the ECB and NARED to consider seasonal tariffs aligned with irrigation cycles as well as incentives, for renewable energy integration in order to enhance food security and sustainability. Now let's take a listen to farm manager of Ndonga Linear Green Scheme, that is a channel rental.
Thank you as a farmer.
The problem is it takes away your cash flow at the end of the day. Cash flow that you need to pay that you could use for other things. That's the big thing. Because it takes long from harvest until you get your money even. Imagine if you start delivering and you still wait a month for your money that comes in. So it's six and a half months you're waiting. Need to pay electricity, everything, before your money starts coming in. And the more you pay for electricity also that involves all these things that your cash flow is gone. That you need to spend on fixing your tractors or doing something new on the farm, maybe buying new equipment or things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
So now, at the end of the day, you'll be left now wondering between the production and what you should fix at the farm, and then there's now electricity bill that is just going up every month.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also, apart from now that the electricity, how was now the production this year?
Yeah, the production was very good. We averaged 7.7 tons average on the farm. Mm-hmm. That's about 3,800 tons we delivered to AMTA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So we did, most of the farm was planted. Let's say 85% of the farm was planted. It was just medium scale that was not planted.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you rate the production between last year and this year?
The previous year we only planted 88 hectares.
Okay.
And this year we planted commercial 350 hectares.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we are pushing for 480 hectares.
Mm-hmm.
But that we are currently busy planting 180 hectares. Yes, that's only commercial and small scale farmers come in also at 150 hectares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the last one before you go, you said that perhaps if NARED could come up with a suggestion to say you have solar, renewable solar systems at the farm, and then maybe NARED could come in or not. And also you said something like, if you decide now to move to solar panels, will NARED not lose the customers? What did you really mean by that?
I'm in farming. I'm not a power generator. I'm not there to generate power.
Mm.
So what I want is affordable electricity for the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing. But now, if NARED doesn't come to the table and says, okay, let's make a plan, then I will need to go and generate my own electricity at the end of the day. And that will take customers away from NARED, because we are already a big customer, we are paying them $1 million a month. Will they handle that if, let's say, all the green schemes go on to solar, will they be able to survive? Because now we are taking, let's say, 10 farms away. It's $10 million that we take away from them that they don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So will they survive? That's what I was meaning with that in that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So if NARED can come up with a plan that they generate the money with us with their own solar system, it's a cheaper price.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are a place that needs to supply our electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to do it ourselves? That's their mandate to do. It's a win-win for both sides. They won't lose customers, and we don't need to struggle to generate electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you think as a farmer that their tariff taxes are very high for you as a farmer? It is very high, the tariff.
Yes, the tariff is very high. Imagine...
Great news! Imbert just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes, the tariff is very high. Imagine that the what we are talking about, maximum demand and the notified demand, it's half of the electricity price. Let's say if our electricity bill is 600, let's say our usage is 600,000, then the other things is also 600,000. So it's half of the account. So I'm willing to pay the usage that we use. So that's 600,000. That's the worth of investment of the worth of electricity we got, 600,000. For them telling us now it's for doing the maintenance on the line, that's included in the tariffs they are, on the usage they are charging us. Because they are buying at $1 a kilowatt and selling for $2.50 or something like that. So there is the money for the, what they make to maintain the line and everything and pay their salaries. It must not come from us every time a maximum demand to support the lines. That's what I'm saying.
But do you think the rest of us help you?
I think so. I think we will get to a point that we know where we stand. There's a task force form that will do all the investigations into that. Like they said, there needs to be a... So both must be balanced. And so the task force will commence with an investigation and check everything, take the running of knowledge, but do they make money? Do they not make money? Do they losing money if they take it away? And even if they take it away, will they tell the green schemes? All that things, the task force will check on it now.
Well,
I think we will get some positive response. The president clearly told them what she wants. It just needs to get balanced, and I don't think it's balanced. I think knowledge makes a lot of money from us. And at the end of, we are suffering the side to do food production, yes. So yeah, I think there will be a positive thing coming from all this meeting. ECB sounds very positive on it. They want also change on it. So I think there will come something from this meeting.
Mm.
This workshop.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
You've leveled up in life, and now it's time to level up your contract. MTC is changing the game with our new contract data plans. More data, more voice minutes, and more SMSs. Core of everything you need. Plans start from just $199 per month. And for a limited new customer's score, an extra 10 gigabytes of data valid for 90 days, absolutely free. Don't wait. Visit any MTC mobile home or call 1-2-000 to level up today. MTC, make the connection.
And there you had it from Jono Rental. He is the farm manager of Donga Linnea. Of course, let's take a listen to Secondo Green Scheme farm manager, that is Maxwell Ngidinwa, who is representing all Green Scheme managers, and say that the total electricity bill for all state-owned Green Schemes reached $34.9 million between October 2024 and September 2025.
They have the technology that reduces costs. Not all of them, but we are actually getting there. We are also have adapted efficient irrigation systems, so most of our irrigation systems are now automated, so remotely controlled, so that we have better control in managing them. And then we are also moving towards using other technologies such as soil moisture probes which are technologies that you can remotely monitor the soil moisture levels so that you don't need to irrigate when the soil moisture levels are high. And then, but despite implementing all these efficiency measures, all these measures, it defeats the purpose if we also don't restructure the tariffs. Because in the end of the day, if the tariffs are still high, you are still going to have the same results. What we can do from our side is also continue to install energy-efficient irrigation pumps, upgrading our pumps, because some of our pumps are quite old. The one I mentioned earlier about technology that can help us schedule irrigation efficiently and more effectively. Pumping during off-peak hours, there are some days, I think Sundays, which we are anyways already doing. In most cases, we irrigate, you know, after hours, which is in the off-peak, and on Sundays. But maybe do it more deliberately and intentionally, understanding the schedules of NORED. Regular maintenance to prevent unnecessary electrical load. Explore renewable energy options deliberately and intentionally. And then also educate our teams on our farms on power saving practices. Request to ECB and NORED. There's no way to go around this. As farm managers, we feel the demand charges need to be significantly reduced, if not reduced, even removed, because of the role that the green schemes are playing in the broader objectives of the government to be food sufficient. The green schemes is for the greater good of the country. These are not private entities. It's for the greater good. And I think there should not be any sense of, we should be patriotic. Let me just put it that way, in that regard. Because it's also what it represents. Then secondly, introduce seasonal tariffs aligned with irrigation cycles. As we know, the green schemes only have two production cycles, and they are predictable, they are repetitive. We have the summer season and we have the winter season. The summer season, obviously because of high temperatures, we irrigate more. And the winter season, because it's cool, we relatively irrigate less. But because the winter season is also very short, wheat in the later part of the crop, like wheat, which is what we mostly produce in winter, from August, September, October, that's when also the irrigation goes high. And I think it's very important also for our stakeholders to understand that, you know, the nature of our operations. Provide incentives for renewable energy integration. I think the government has to have policies, not only for the green scheme, also for private farmers that are very intentional in creating incentives in the renewable energy. Recognize green schemes as strategic food production entities eligible for subsidized energy rates, and then pilot a sustainable tariff model on selected schemes with high invoices. So the path forward, we believe we need to establish a joint technical task team, which consists of ECB, NAMPOWER, NORED, the ministry, which is representing the green scheme, because most of the time when these tariffs are being discussed, we are not on the table, but yet we are the ones mostly affected. To coordinate tariff reform and pilot implementation at selected schemes, conduct site-specific energy audits, which probably might be done here. If not, but then we can still continue after this workshop to measure load profiles, pumping hours, and seasonal variations for accurate tariff modeling, and then develop optimized tariff proposals that reflect irrigation cycles, off-season idle periods, and renewable integration potential. Pilot real-time monitoring systems with the help of our stakeholders, including NORED, because we expect you to have experts in these fields to help us with smart meters and data loggers that can also help us monitor remotely our usage of electricity. And we've been doing that on our pump station. Most of our pump stations are now remotely monitored. And I think that will also be a very smart move. And it will equip managers with all, with data that they can use to make real life decisions much more efficient and much more faster on how they are, how we are using our energies. And then again, to reiterate, approve and implement a new green scheme tariff model through the joint technical task team, starting with pilot farms. In conclusion, in the invitation we got, there was a statement that reliable and affordable electricity is the backbone of Namibia's food security. By aligning tariff structures with agricultural realities, we can expand irrigation coverage and increase year-round food production, retain and create jobs through sustained field operation and agro-processing activities, lower unit production costs, making local produce more competitive in the domestic market. Remember, some of our inputs we are importing from South Africa, and then we are still competing with South African product in the same market. So we are actually very disadvantaged. And then reinvest energy savings into solar backup system, mechanization and storage facilities, ensure every kilowatt contributes directly to food output, farmer income, and national food security. Thank you so much.
And with that being said, let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back not so far from now so that we can bring you feedback from ECB Chief Executive Officer Robert Kaimise, as well as that of NARED. Stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nao nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamweli nawa ninge Pada fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora tatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa ora tatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, speaking at the National Stakeholder Workshop for the Green Schemes with ECB, that was held under the theme Balancing Energy Cost and Food Security, Sustainable Tariff Solutions for Green Schemes. Robert Kaimise, that is ECB's CEO, indicated that the ECB values the opportunity to bring together key stakeholders from the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform, the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy, NARED, and the Green Schemes Project Farm Managers. You know, pointed out that the collaboration underscores the vital link between the affordable electricity, agricultural productivity, and national food security, and indicated that the regulator, as the regulator of Namibia's electricity supply industry, the ECB recognizes that access to cost-effective and reliable electricity is essential for the sustainability of the green schemes. The workshop is therefore an opportunity or an important platform for open dialogue and evidence-based discussion. Let's now take a listen to his voice, that is Robert Kaimise.
Industries, you also have your goals. The reason why you are here, electricity cost is an input cost, is eating into your profits gradually. And when you do your forecasting going forward, maybe you are seeing that your business that you are running might not be feasible. And that's why we are here. So, allow me, MC. I hope I've portrayed that linkages. That's why we are here. That's why we are here. As a regulator of Namibia's electricity supply industry, the ECB recognizes that access to cost-effective and reliable electricity is essential for the sustainability of green schemes. These schemes play a critical role in supporting food production, employment creation, and also for rural development. Also being some years back as a CEO of the City of Windhoek and being concerned about urban migration, I think the reality is we need to create economic nodes to the level of industrialization that can migrate some of our people back into rural areas, towns and villages as well. If Windhoek remains the only lucrative economic hub, it is not going to be sustainable. And that's the role of the green schemes in typical rural setup. And they need every support possible so that we don't only create employment, but we also create sustainable employment opportunities also in these nodes. This time we are focusing specifically in these two regions. Today's workshop is therefore an important platform for open dialogue and evidence-based discussions. From what I foresee, I want an opportunity like 70% technical. If we have to run numbers today, we can take a break, run the numbers. Mm-hmm. But we need evidence-based so that our decisions will be backed up. And when we report back to our principals, we have executed what is expected of us. We have to run the numbers. The team from ECB have requested some financial statements, but we didn't get. But the farmer schemes are here. Our intention is just to see what is the impact of the electricity as an input cost into your finances. Convince us to be worried as you are worried about the electricity cost. Once we are aligned, it's easy for all of us to assist the green schemes to be financially sustainable. So I hope everyone is here with all the necessary information, if not data, that we can manipulate in this workshop and come up with very clear goals in achieving the set target so that the green schemes can operate at expected levels. Some of the challenges where I'm sitting that we should unpack in this workshop, I hope you are also aware of the time of use tariffs, certain pricing signals that we have allowed to the large power users. And maybe also I need to clarify, as far as tariff setting is concerned, you have the decision maker in the house. Tariff setting is done, is fully delegated by government to ECB. So if you fully convince us, and we are here to assist, I think we should all, including NORET, including our policymakers, we should all be able to walk away and agree if we take the decision in this direction, we will be able to sustain the green schemes going forward so that you can assist government, as I have said. So that's the type of workshop that I expect for today. It's a good balance between technical and also on the policy side. Together we will explore pathways towards structure that promotes efficiency. I've always been wondering whether your production scheduling is also aligned to the pricing that the operator have been sending into the market. Maybe probably today we will be able to unpack that. I hope, Mr. Siromo, you have those profiles so that we can see, and hopefully the farm managers and the farm scheme managers, once you go back, if you have to change your production schedules and push production during the time that the electricity is the lowest, like 30 cents, 50 cents per kilowatt hour, so be it. And that should be aligned as well with the labor laws. If you have to apply to the Ministry of Labor, do it. But we have to do whatever is necessary to really make the green schemes financially sustainable going forward. So that's the type of mindset that we should have in this room, to do whatever is possible. The head of state has been saying, is business unusual. If we continue doing what we have been doing for the last 20 years, we will only generate the same results. And that's why it was important, for even for myself, representing the board, so that we can come down to Rundu and unpack these issues once and for all, honestly. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we are here. We are not here to talk. We have been talking for too long. We have to agree. The objective of this workshop is to assess and understand, as I've mentioned, whether the current tariff structures applicable to green schemes, particularly in the NOREC license area, do they achieve the set objectives without compromising NOREC as an operator. I also understand there were some reduction in cost. I don't know whether it's 3 years or 4 years back, where the green schemes in terms of maximum demand were relieved close to 28% and 30%. The maximum or the demand charge that you are paying is the variable demand, not the fixed one, the notified maximum demand. Today we have to see, did you get those pricing signals? And what did it do to your business? We have to, before we introduce, if needed, additional subsidies, we have to unpack the impact of the current pricing signals that are being sent to the green schemes, whether we are aligned as far as those signals that has been sent to your, to the customers of NOREC. Also, in these few hours, we expect you to also understand the pricing of electricity. This is not so scientific. So once you understand on a higher level how electricity is priced and why all these pricing mechanisms then you are in a better position, not only to take decisions on your behalf, but also to take the right decision for all stakeholders involved. If you have to compromise here and there, then you understand why you have to compromise. Because now you understand the pricing of electricity. As part of this workshop, we have to identify innovative and sustainable energy management practices. We have everyone in the room, the expertise in running these schemes. Maybe some of us have got theoretical workings of these schemes, but we have the operators in the room so that you say, no. You think it works that way? No. It actually would cost me more if I schedule my production like that. The engineers and everyone, the economists and everyone is here so that we can assist each other. But we have to. In technology, on the technology side, if these schemes have to go off-grid, fully powered by renewable energy, including battery energy storage, and it will make your operations sustainable, why not? Why not? We cannot keep everyone on the grid. The writing is on the wall. We have to optimize our operations from the public utilities to the users so that the energy, electricity supply industry, it is sustainable going forward. If it can work in private hands, why not also in your hands? But before we do that, we all know the grid gives you stability, as you cannot get from renewable energy. Some of us, even privately, we are so far from the grid, we are relying on solar rooftop installations. If you have clouds for 2-3 days, it's noisy and it's an expensive system. It's just reliability issues. So let's comprehend the realities. The cost of energy storage has been coming down for a purpose. If we can use it, let's use it. That's the type of open-mind approach. That's the type of open-mind approach that we should embrace for this day. So that by the end of the day, we are in a position to make proper recommendations. In conclusion, the ECB remains committed to collaborative solutions that balanced social, economic, environmental objectives, ensuring that electricity pricing supports Namibia's long-term food security and also sustainable development goals. So participants, the same government that belongs to us more than 10 years ago adopted the policy of cost reflectivity in electricity. So the government take a very strategic position that electricity as a commodity can fund itself. And we as the implementer of government policy, we have accelerated the industry in cost reflectivity. More than 15 years down the line, we are now ranked among the top 5 in the region in terms of electricity cost that has become expensive. So we just bring the bus to a standstill and reflect again. But government took that decision that electricity should be able to fund.
And there you had it from Robert Kaimise, who is the CEO of ECB. Let's now take a listen to Siremo Kudumo, and he's the acting CEO of NARED.
So in other words, it will also mean that if I have that 1.6 million, then I'm supposed to keep it as a reserve to try to fund capital projects and things like that. But now it is not there. So it just means we're not building anything. That's actually the effect of it. Now, It is also not a good thing for us, but again, it's a crime. We're just trying to indicate that's what they've done. I recall when this matter some years back, the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, supposed to take us that money, but I believe from the information, I think we just never agreed. Because if we are assisting, then we don't have other sources of income in that. So either Minister of Agriculture or Minister of Industry, Mines and Energy is supposed to subsidize them. So those are the things. From our perspective, we are losing. Now, on Abraham's question regarding if we've done the number crunch, not to that detail, but we know the effect already. That the effect means, because if we are buying from number $1, and if you look at the market, the energy from IPPs, economic scale would be between 70 to 90 cents. So that already tells you that it will be cheaper. Now, when you do now the tide, you put everything together to Mr. Ishmael earlier, the Mr. Peter there, expecting that it will easily answer that part, how it will play out. In terms of the country, yes, that's a different story, where the transitional distribution, in terms of the renewable being a lot, but that's what NAMPOWER needs to look at in terms of auxiliary service or base load and the other matter. But yet again, the effect might not be felt necessarily on distribution if the PV is sitting, if it is sitting directly somewhere else. But if it is really embedded at that megawatt, yeah, the effect will also be different. But yet again, that power not being there is a matter between the IPP in terms of how they schedule the MSP. For us, what we just need is energy. That energy is not there. The supplier has resources to give us that energy and the rest to balance out. That is actually our view, because we end up working energy.
Welcome back. Oh no. Let's just take a commercial break and I'll be back shortly.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili nehola mo ihewetike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa mune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for...
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On The Radar News Analysis right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And of course, now we are joined in studio telephonically by Mr. Paulus Mulunga, and he is the Managing Director at Light Systems Namibia. A very good afternoon to you, Mr. Paulus Mulunga. It's a pleasure to actually have you right in to discuss the very topic that we have already exhausted right here on Eagle FM.
Thank you very much for having me, and it's great to be back discussing this very important topic with you.
Yeah. Now, of course, we're talking about the National Stakeholders Workshop for the Green Schemes with the Electricity Control Board of Namibia. I know that you have listened and followed some of the discussions that were discussed right there. What do you think about it coming to light again? I know we discussed it, I think, in September, earlier September this year. But just what do you make it of the conversation that ECB, NORED, and the Ministry of Agriculture, the Ministry of Mines also got together with the Green Schemes?
Yeah, no, it's actually, I feel very, very glad that this topic is receiving the seriousness that it is. I'm glad that all these major stakeholders are getting together and they're getting input from everybody. It's always a challenge to get all these, important people that key stakeholders into one room and get to engage. So I'm really glad that this workshop is taking place and that honest engagements are taking place. I've been following, as you rightly put it, to some of the engagements, and I like the openness, the frankness that has taken place. There are some, you know, issues that normally one not directly want to address, but I'm happy that they're coming out. A very important issue that was addressed in this stakeholder workshops is the issue of demand charges. I've been following that closely, and I'm happy that it has come to light. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that there are solutions also that we touched on, but one thing that I have not seen from the engagements is the participation of the private sector, because we definitely have some input as well that we can contribute to this important national engagement.
Mm-hmm. You know, the farm manager who is representing all the green schemes, or that is the farm manager of Secondo Green Scheme, Maxwell Nidinwa, and he's representing all green schemes, say that the total electricity bill for all state-owned energy schemes reached 34.9 million. That is between October 2024 and September 2025. Now, and of course they are calling for seasonal tariffs to align with irrigation cycles, as well as incentives for renewable energy irrigation to enhance food security and sustainability. Yes, it's a discussion that they are getting into now, and I do appreciate our ECB's Robert Kaimise spoke about we need to get into action and not just talking. But let's hear from you again, especially in the renewable energy, in incentives for renewable energy. Just if we are in the boardroom now, and of course we have the people on board who have the right to pull the right strings, what advice would you give them? Where should they begin when you're talking about incentives for renewable energy?
Very good point, Ndahafa. And I'd just like to highlight again something that did come out from the engagements from Mr. Maxwell, the representative of the Green Farm Managers. He mentioned that 12.6 million of that total cost that you mentioned, that 34.9 million, is actually a demand charge. So this is not actual energy that the green schemes consumed. It is an additional charge because the green schemes reached a certain capacity. So those funds are what the distributors, your NOREDs and the like, use, you know, to run and manage the operation, to fix power lines and all of that. So I think that is a huge figure. That 37% just going to excess charge. It's not the actual energy that the green schemes consume. So if that amount can be, you know, can be reduced to some degree, then obviously, you know, you give some relief to the green schemes so that they're able to have a little bit more cash flow and are able thus to produce more. So my advice would be to start looking at, you know, how we can reduce costs like those. So perhaps government can subsidize the distributors. But now what it will mean is that we really have to understand the operational costs of the green scheme so that a proper financial model can be devised in order for government to perhaps subsidize the distributors with regards to the demand charges that they're charging clients. The green schemes are not the only ones affected. In our company, as part of, you know, of the solutions that we provide, we have come across businesses as well, and they have provided us their municipality bills or their electricity bills, and we are really perplexed by the high charges. Some of them, you'd find that in a month, a demand charge is almost 50% of the electricity bill. That is not sustainable. Businesses will not be able to run efficiently if they are exposed to such types of costs. But of course, we understand that you know, the distributors have to operate and they have to generate revenue. Perhaps this is where government can come in and try to partially subsidize the distributors. But then we also just don't want funds to be utilized recklessly, for lack of a better word. We really want, you know, efficiencies within these institutions. The other thing, again, that, you know, coming back to what we provide, that the green schemes can consider is renewable energy solutions. In our last discussion, I discussed the basics today, and I'm seeing that we have the technical people in the room leading the discussions, leading the engagements. You know, today I want to just go a little bit technical in terms of, you know, what the green schemes can utilize. Again, solar is a very, very good alternative that the green schemes can consider. But as is rightly pointed out, that has to come with, I like the word that was used, smart scheduling. We have to schedule when the solar system is used. Last time I mentioned that we have a dark curve that follows the solar generation throughout the day. And we note that, you know, our peak production from a solar system is between the hours of 11 and 2 o'clock. So if the green schemes can schedule or, first of all, install a solar system, it can be of any type, and then schedule their maximum production to match the peak production of the solar system.
Yeah.
I mentioned last time also that...
Interesting. You know what? I wish we could pull out that conversation for the listeners to just get a glimpse into it again so that they're well equipped with what really the discussion was all about.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I can also just summarize, you know, that I discussed that there are three types of solar solutions. There are off-grid solar solutions, which are now systems that are not connected to the electricity grids. They come with batteries. So a solar system works, the panels work during the day and the batteries take over at night. There is no connection to the national grid. Then we have hybrid systems where you have the grid connected to the system. The solar system works in tandem, is the word I used last time. It works together with the national grid as well as batteries on that very same solar system, such that the solar system provides some of the power during the day. If it's well designed, it can provide all the power. And then at night, from the batteries, the solar system provides some of the power. And then the shortfall is provided by the electricity grid. And then we have grid-tied systems. Grid-tied systems do not come with any storage, so they only work during the day. So in summary, these are the various types of solar systems that the green scheme can utilize. And all of those, with smart scheduling, the green schemes can reduce their expense on grid electricity. Smart scheduling also entails the green schemes reducing their usage of electricity during peak times. I also mentioned in our last conversation that the tariffs in Namibia are regulated, and we have a billing system that is referred to as a time of use. In other words, you are charged a tariff, a different rate, depending on the time that you're using the electricity. So peak period is the most expensive time. This is when there is a high demand for electricity, and so the tariff tends to be high because a lot of people demand the power. There's not enough generation, and because now you're going to get it from outside, it means you have to pay a premium for it. So peak period is normally between 6 and 9 in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon to 7 to 8, 9 o'clock, depending on the area in which you're operating. So if the green schemes can also schedule their operations to reduce their production during those peak periods, then that can also help a lot. Now, at the beginning of the conversation, I mentioned that I want to go a little bit technical into some of the solutions that solar can provide in terms of reducing those high energy electricity costs for the green schemes. We have something referred to as peak shaving. So peak shaving means that a company like LSM or somebody else, a technical company, will go into the green scheme, assess and analyze the electricity usage over a period of time to get a picture of when the peak happens within this green scheme. So we will take meters, for example, and then go into the green scheme and measure the electricity usage under normal conditions for a period of time. It can be a week, it can be a month, so that we get a clear understanding of how the green scheme operates and understand when the green scheme demands power the most. This peak period is tied to that maximum demand. And so if we understand when it happens, we can develop solar solutions, especially hybrid solutions that come with battery energy storage systems that can take over, during the peak period to reduce the peak consumption, to a manageable amount such that the green schemes do not spend exorbitant amounts on this maximum demand charge,
yeah,
which we said is around 37%. So it's around 37% from Mr.
Before you continue, let's just pause here and make room for a scheduled commercial break so that when we come back, you can extensively also get into that technical aspect of it, please.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Lipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere uligoni mando tuto ingida ashike kapeno meko tite opoewe ekupurile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike eko vano hile ko shiwa unongeshefa ya pungwa kukaraya ko vano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka okupitira oipindi kono konda doi nawa nune uto otupitira o special ange tashake
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternieuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en krachtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potentieel van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusieve funksies vir slechts $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons speciale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Minuto, o tukwetira o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka o kone ujendi fena wa nukumuna o ijagweri na wa nenge pata fano na monika ko Eagle FM kondura esatu imwe bali heri nola natu heri bali no heri ile kumberewa dora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye
Estira Chicho, porque eu tenho que fazer o povo no cara o Estira é que nem o Chicho. Quando você está na Basic Mental Health First Aid Course, aí ganhou o Shari Chambongi, quando cai ele e o NHP. Quando pega o nongo não sei, na que nem na o tungorora o madidrico o bom petameco o gena já o piaca de nenge o matidaca no o pama vira viro, o chane o mocatico o meco e nenge a niro Pamwe Nangwe Osho Otopewa U Nongo Ukene Una Okwea Kwasera Nukwea Pa Ea Bidido Ijiri Mwanjira Omanga Upia Kadiboka Inauru Darara Kuyerere Ounji Nahene Unokara Uishagitha Tarera Po Epanja Yo Yo NHP.com.na E Hangono Maradura Sano Odovina Okura Duro NHP Rooted in Care for You
Your health, your life, your peace of mind NHP, we're about you.
Okay, and we are back, and like I said, we are joined telephonically by Mr. Paulus Mulunga, who is the Managing Director of Light Systems Namibia. Mr. Paulus, let me give the floor back to you now so you can get into those technical terminologies for us to really understand what the green scheme can look to as a solution.
So, yes, thank you, Dava, for that. Again, not to go too technical, but the key thing that I wanted to highlight here is that, you know, the private sector, if roped in, can assist to provide solutions to the green schemes to reduce their electricity bills because, I mean, 35% of their revenue goes towards electricity costs.
Mm.
And of that 35%, 37% of that amount is towards maximum demand charges. So the private sector understands, these things and can provide solutions tailor-made for the green schemes. Hybrid solar systems with batteries are a possibility. The prices of batteries, large-scale batteries that can be utilized in green schemes are possible. Obviously, you know, you don't necessarily want a solar system where the whole green scheme is going to come off from the grid.
Mm-hmm.
That is not sustainable. It might be too costly. We just find smart ways on how we can utilize solar systems. I mentioned previously in our previous conversation that a hybrid system can be tailored to power some of the loads. During the day, the system can provide power to the pumps during the day. If the green scheme wants to pump at night, then it can do so when the tariff is also lower. We just find the perfect time or the perfect hours within the day on how it can utilize both the solar energy as well as grid power. There is also a tariff under the time of use set up mechanism where power from the grid is the cheapest, and that is the off peak period, 10 o'clock in the evening all the way up to 5 o'clock in the morning. That's when power is the cheapest. And then I was listening to Mr. Kaimise, who mentioned that power can be utilized during this period. The green schemes can utilize power during the cheap periods, but it must just adhere to the labor laws if it's going to implement shifts for staff members to work during those odd hours. But those solutions are possible. It's not going to be the misconception is that solar is expensive, but I maintain that if the system is sized properly, if the private sector is consulted and we provide inputs, we can find efficient solutions to run the green schemes efficiently, because those solutions do exist. It is in our favor to actually utilize solar as much as possible. We have good irradiance. If you step out of wherever you are into the sun, you would feel the heat. That's the radiation that we're receiving. It can be utilized. The cost of these materials, solar panels and batteries, have gradually been decreasing. And I mentioned last time that, the prices are dropping to the lowest level, and I do not think it will be cheaper than what it currently is. So the green schemes are really tailor-made to make use of solar systems to improve the efficiency. Yeah. The private sector must just be involved in these engagements.
Okay. I certainly hope that at the end of the day, perhaps a year from now, maybe somewhere this time next year, we'll have the same very discussion looking at the alternatives that the green scheme took, or perhaps that, the government itself helped them to take and all that. Because at the end of the day, I do remember very well that you say Namibia's sun shines brighter and we get the best solar compared to other, the best actually in Africa. So sincerely, I think it's about time we really make use of our natural resources.
Very much so. I mean, it's an injustice for us not to utilize the sun that we get to resolve some of the issues that we have. I mean, the government went as far as arranging a workshop to address the electricity charges, because that is the biggest threat, it seems, to the sustainability of these green schemes. So this electricity conundrum really has to be addressed. But right in front of us, and I'm not sure why we can't see it, is a solution, which is this abundant renewable resource. We do not pay for it. It is right there. I mean, it's available to us. Yet, we don't see large solar farms. We don't see solar being implemented into these projects to make important entities like the green schemes sustainable. Food production is a very important endeavor for this current government, and there are solutions to make sure that our green schemes are sustainable.
Okay. Mr. Paulus Malunga, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radar News Analysis. I always appreciate your insights and your sentiments that you do share with us.
Dafa, it's always a pleasure to engage. It's always a pleasure to educate. There is a lot of possibilities, and I'm always glad to let the listeners and yourself and everybody know that the possibilities are there. Again, Light Systems Namibia and other private sector companies, this is our daily work. This is what we do on a daily basis, find solutions that make use of the sun that we have available. So thank you very much for having me. It's always a great pleasure.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Cheers for now.
And of course, there you had it from Paulus Malunga. He is the managing director at Namibia Light Systems, or Light Systems Namibia, which obviously deals with solar systems. And of course, just trying to pull out or looking at alternatives of what the green scheme can look into, as opposed to focusing entirely on electricity, on the grid system itself, which is charging it, or to which it's putting in a pumping in a lot of amounts of money, a lot of money, which is very high. And obviously this would be is not would be, but it is a negative impact to the green schemes. At the end of the day, we do want our green schemes up and running and producing us very good fruits and vegetables so that we can be food sufficient. Now, of course, as you had there from ECB Chief Executive Officer Robert Kaimisi, he said the regulator's role is to help government strike a balance between energy affordability, security and reliability while encouraging local power generation to reduce Namibia's reliance on imports. And he added that under NDP 6 and Vision 2030, the government aims to generate 80% of the country's electricity locally and expand access to 70% of the population, supporting industrial growth and rural development. Pardon me. Namibia's green schemes established to strengthen national food self-sufficiency and rural employment through irrigated agriculture have been key to the country's agricultural policy. However, many of those projects, especially in the Kavango East and West regions, continue to face high operating costs, aging infrastructure, and frequent power interruptions, therefore threatening their long-term sustainability. Now, as government and stakeholders explore solutions, the call for tariff reform, investment in renewable energy, and improved grid reliability grows louder, with the future of Namibia's food security and rural livelihoods hanging in the balance. Now, of course, this is On the Radar News Analysis. Remember, you can also partake in the news bulletin by dialing on 083-288-401. With that, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, we'll be back with news beyond the borders. Stay tuned right here on the Radar News Analysis.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And now for news beyond the borders of Namibia, we're starting off in South Africa on COP30 Climate Summit that has opened in Brazil.
Climate Summit has opened in Brazil with a message from the United Nations. The organization says countries would rather cooperate than battle over competing priorities that continue to fracture the consensus-seeking approach of the gathering. Host country Brazil brokered a deal on the agenda for the two-week summit in the Amazon city of Belém, deflecting attempts by developing country negotiating blocks to shoehorn contentious issues like climate finance and carbon taxes into the talks. The gathering expects some 50,000 delegates from government, civil society and the private sector in the latest effort to protect the planet from climate catastrophe.
Friends, let me be clear. In this arena of COP30, your job here is not to fight one another. Your job here is to fight this climate crisis together. Paris is working to deliver real progress. Let's not forget that.
It's time to inflict another defeat on the deniers.
Without the Paris Agreement, the world would be doomed to catastrophic warming of almost 5 degrees by the end of the century. We are moving in the right direction, but at the wrong speed. If the men who wage war were here at this COP, they would realize that it is much cheaper to invest $1.3 trillion to solve the climate problem than to invest $2.7 trillion to wage war, as they did last year.
Scientists tell us that overshooting 1.5 degrees is now inevitable, starting at the latest in the early 2030s. But how high and how long that overshoot lasts depends on the speed and scale of our actions today. To return below 1.5 degrees by century's end, global emissions must fall by almost half by 2030, reach net zero by 2050, and go on with net negative afterwards. Renewables are now the cheapest source of new electricity in nearly every country. They are powering prosperity and empowering communities long left in the dark.
Now in other news, let's all head over to Kenya, where experts flag growing landslide risk in Kenya.
But beneath this beautiful landscape lies Kenya's Rift Valley region has some of the most breathtaking scenery, but beneath this beautiful landscape lies ever-present danger. Anytime it rains heavily, landslides are just a few raindrops away. For people living in Chesongoch in Elgeyo Marakwet County, tragedy struck earlier this month when a landslide killed dozens. More than 10 people are still missing. For the survivors, the pain of that tragedy runs deep. Many have lost everything, homes, loved ones, and even livelihoods. When the disaster hit Chesongoch, the Kenya Red Cross led rescue and recovery efforts that also involved several government agencies. It says emergency teams faced many challenges reaching the affected area.
The entire area of Chesongoch was kind of made to be an island because all roads leading to Chesongoch were cut off. Therefore, the multi-agency team that is responding to this disaster were not able to reach and give immediate response to this. The hospital facilities were damaged, and this then had exposed us to having only one health facility, which is a mission health facility, that was providing initial services and initial first aid to the affected people.
For the Red Cross, such disasters often drive home a painful truth. That of communities caught in a cycle of destruction and rebuilding with little done to address the problem permanently. Okumu says there were gaps that, if minimized, could reduce the impact of such disasters.
We cannot also risk our lives going down to the valleys and into the mud. Then we needed to have a lot of technology employed in place to ensure that we have the items such as drones going down there to get us images. And then we have maybe choppers dropping people down to just recover bodies where they have been identified.
Experts say such disasters are not new and not unexpected. They say the North Rift is part of a fragile escarpment system. The soil is loose and rainfall patterns have become erratic. But people continue to build and farm there because they lack alternatives or because relocation policies have not been properly implemented.
If we had these areas forested in its natural setting, of course, landslides would be very little. And when we don't have settlements in those areas, whenever it happens, then there would not be disasters. So if we plan our land use in a proper way, we can have areas that are safe, a little bit flatter, and then the slope areas can be used for planting trees. Then we can have areas that are suitable for farming, set aside for farming.
Every rain season, these communities are told to move to safer, higher ground, but most never do. Why has relocation proven so difficult?
The cultural attachment to where you have been living, and where you have the family fabric, where probably you have even burial sites for family members who have passed on for many years. So there is that cultural significance.
Somali Skamo farmers adapt to survive climate change.
Somalia is trapped in a vicious cycle of extreme weather. Prolonged droughts give way to destructive floods, and back again. These erratic conditions have gutted traditional pastoralists' livelihoods, costing herders both their animals and too often their lives. The camels now no longer roam free across the endless plains, but they survive.
The severe shortage of pasture leaves no place for camels to graze, and we cannot provide them with any grazing land. During drought seasons, the scarcity of water and lack of pasture significantly compromise their usefulness, as camels face severe water shortages and animal food.
But some farmers have found a revolutionary solution.
The camels are in this pen. There's a big difference between them because some camels go for grazing and browsing while others wait for fodder from you. There's a challenge for everything that changes, but we are experienced and so we plan in advance for any possible challenge that can come and we solve it.
It's called zero grazing and it's transforming the traditional industry.
We sell at different prices for the milk of the camels in the pen. And we sell them at $2 per litre. That is the price we give to the restaurant. The restaurant incurs much expense, like transportation. They are taxed. They pass checkpoints. So a litre is about $2.50 or $3 per litre.
The adaptation is remarkable. Somali camels, traditionally free-roaming desert animals, have adjusted to life within walls. Workers clean the pens daily, deliver feed, and carefully milk the animals. The milk follows a carefully orchestrated supply chain. Workers pour the fresh milk into large jars, load them onto tuk-tuk motors, and transport them to Mogadishu's restaurants and markets. The operation sells milk to restaurants for $2 per liter.
Camel milk of Rubeder restaurant is quality milk. They have good milk. It's milked from camels that have veterinary doctors that test and control. They're camels in pens with farms. It feeds on the produce of those farms. Their milk is good, whether it's given to elderly people or to normal people. They have good milk.
A kilo of camel meat now costs $6, double or even triple what it cost in the past. The higher prices mirror the new economics of camel herding and the drought ravaging the country.
A kilo of camel meat is $6, but in the past it was $2.50 or $3 a kilo. The price has gone up because of the drought in the country.
These farmers haven't simply maintained their livelihoods, they have reinvented them. As climate change continues to reshape landscapes and livelihoods across the Horn of Africa, the zero-grazing camel farmers of Mogadishu offer a glimpse of what adaptation looks like on the ground. Practical, determined, and essential for survival. Beryl Oro, CGTN.
Rwanda's exports surge thanks to China's zero-tariff policies. Let's take a listen.
Rwandan ambassador to China is taking me for a tour of their pavilion to try some best specialties from his country.
So this is already being exported to China. Some people use the way it is to mix it with some dishes. Others here in China, they convert this into different products like chili paste and chili sauce.
At this year's CIIE, around 18 Rwanda enterprises showcased their products in Shanghai. Having participated for 8 years since 2018, Rwanda has achieved mutual benefits with the Chinese market by exhibiting specialty agricultural products such as coffee, tea, and chili.
Chinese consumers, they love them because of the flavor. That's why Rwandan coffee is very famous, because it is grown in higher altitudes, very constant good climate conditions with sunshine and rainfall pattern, which is good, and soils are very good. They're volcanic, very fertile, so it's really organic.
With the continuous development of bilateral relations, China has become Rwanda's largest trading partner and one of its key sources of foreign investment. And China's expansion of tariff preferences for African countries has facilitated Rwanda's exports to China as a new model of South-South cooperation.
And because of the favorable policies that are put in place by the government of China, especially the application of zero tariff to African products, making it easier and becoming highly competitive in the market because they don't pay extra taxes, that has increased our volumes. So just to give you a sense, we were exporting about $35 million in 2019. Now we have reached $160 million of exports. And that has a huge impact because not only the companies involved to get profit, but more importantly for me is the farmers who toil every single day to produce the coffee and tea and chill that have access to this huge market.
Yeah.
And so that has had a huge impact in terms of increasing exports to China. So we really appreciate the opportunities offered to us like CIE, but also the policies that are in place to support our farmers and our agribusiness people to benefit from this market, which is much, much bigger. I should say much bigger than what we can produce. Going forward, this is going to continue to be a place where people will grow their businesses and secure investments in African countries to increase productivity because of the capacity they have, the technology transfer in the entire manufacturing sector.
10 million rice seed production and training center is underway in Zambia, Mansa.
This is the sprawling 6.5 hectares rice seed production fields at the new Lwapula Rice Production and Research Center. Government is developing the research and training center at the cost of $10 million, the Lwapula Province Minister Nason Msonda has checked on the construction works.
So when you give President Aga in the HM up to 2031, I think that Lwapula will be transformed. I've always said, when we come to 2031, I'm praying that all his critics should live to see up to 2031, that this province will be transformed. And so I refuse when they say Lwapula is poor, it's his leadership that failed the people of Lwapula province. Now that we have a correct leadership in place, that's why we are seeing this.
The center is coming with several state-of-the-art facilities, among them a new lecture theater, seed processing center, and electrical machine room, all meant to improve rice production in Lwapula province.
We have put also the laboratory just opposite side of the passage, which will actually be used for actually improving the rice seeds for this training facility. Yes, so the research will be ongoing at this center also.
The contractor says they will hand over the project to government next month. Zari said the center will also train 1,800 persons per year, including 160 lead farmers, to enhance productivity.
Yeah, this project actually is standing as a savior of poverty to humanity.
To diversify, we have to like bring in, we have to start training farmers on the rice growing, so that farmers, some can be growing rice, some can be growing maize, some can be growing groundnut, just like that. So it's very critical, you know. If you look at the national development plan, there's that component you have to diversify.
Lillian Kalawa, ZNBC News, Mansa.
U.S. Senate compromise set stage for end to government shutdown.
U.S. history could end this week after a compromise that would restore federal funding cleared an initial Senate hurdle. At this point, it is unclear when Congress may give its approval, though House Speaker Mike Johnson told Fox Business on Monday he would like his chamber to vote as early as Wednesday. Here was Johnson earlier on Monday.
I will call all House members to return to Washington as quickly as possible. We'll give a 36-hour formal and official notice so that we can vote as soon as possible to pass the amended CR bill and get it to the president's desk.
Later, President Trump signaled his approval of the move to reopen the government.
The deal is very good. We have support from enough Democrats, and we're going to be opening up our country.
In the Senate on Monday, Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said he did not support the deal to end the shutdown because it does not include guarantees to fix health care subsidies.
People now see that premiums are about to skyrocket. They're terrified about how they're going to pay for their insurance. Democrats demanded that we find a way to fix this crisis and quickly, but Republicans have refused to move an inch.
Democrats were pushing for an extension of health insurance subsidies for 24 million Americans that are due to expire at the end of the year. The Senate compromise would set up a December vote on that measure. The votes by eight moderate Democrats on Sunday to advance the deal provoked anger among many in the party, who noted there was no guarantee that the health care vote would pass the Senate or House of Representatives. Since October 1st, food subsidies have been disrupted and flights have been canceled as some air traffic controllers stopped coming to work as they were not being paid. The compromise would extend funding through January 30th, leaving the federal government for now on a path to keep adding about $1.8 trillion a year to its $38 trillion in debt.
And with that, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Lois Eshimi and of course the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut from 16:30. And don't forget the Business Economics segment show from 1800 hours with David Shombe. From Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow. Same time, same place, same radio, same frequency, same website, and also same Eagle FM app as you tune in for On the Radar News Analysis tomorrow from 1300 hours to 1430. From me, Dafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye and have yourself a blessed Tuesday afternoon ahead.